Good morning, men and women. I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to you, our female guests this morning. We're so happy to have you here to see what we do. We do this each year to kind of give a peek to the spouses and to what your husbands are doing. You know, the older I get, the more and more concerned I become about fewer and fewer things. And one of those is marriage. I have now been married for, well, my wedding ceremony started 34 years, 5 days, 11 hours, and 3 minutes ago. And it's a good thing. We were out to dinner, Patsy and I, celebrating our anniversary. And I find, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of the female servers are very disenchanted with marriage. And so Patsy and I usually use that as an opportunity somewhere in the conversation to work in that we've been married for, in this case, 34 years. And they're just usually so awestruck by that. And so we want to celebrate marriage. It's just one of the most valuable, important things that you can do is to really invest in your marriage. And so some of you are on the front end of that, some of you are on the back end of that. I'd like to give away a couple of books as gifts. If you have been married for 40 or more years, would you just raise your hands? 40 or more years. Wow, look at that. If you've been married for 50 or more years, would you raise your hands? Oh, my goodness. Bill over here whispered in his wife's ear, how long have we been married? If you've been married for 55 or more years, would you raise your hands? All right. And so this is Alan Leland Wilson. And I'm going to give you a copy of this book. Okay. This is A Man's Guide to the Spiritual Disciplines. That's my new book. I'll sign that for you afterwards, okay? Yeah. And then, how many of you have been married for one day or less? Would you raise your hands? All right. How many of you have been married for 5 or less years? Would you raise your hands? Okay, we have quite a number of relatively new. How about 2 or less years? Would you raise your hands? All right, we have over there and over here. How long have you been married? 5 months. Well, that's good enough for me. You know, you can do it right the first time, and I know that from what you've said to me here, you've been here a few times, that you really want to do it right the first time. This is a book called Devotions for Couples, and the chapters are only 2 pages, so really almost anybody can handle that. And well, as I say, I've become more and more concerned about fewer and fewer things. Marriage is one of them. Another one is the subject of leadership. We're doing a series, as it says, Doing Business God's Way. Now, we are not doing a special Valentine's message. We're doing the regular message in this series this morning on the subject of leadership. What does the Bible say that can strengthen and empower my leadership? Many people believe that our country, the United States, is in a leadership crisis. In fact, almost every writer and thinker on leadership believes that we're in a crisis. I happen to agree. That's why I'm so personally interested in it. That's why in 2006 I completed a PhD after 3.5 years of study in leadership and organizational change. It's just one of those areas that really needs massive attention. And so to apply leadership principles of business makes a lot of sense. And if you're in commerce, then one of the things you're thinking about with regard to leadership, no doubt, is, you know, how can I be more effective as a leader? You know, what do you do? How do you handle it when you have a non-performing employee? What do you do when you, even though you're a very capable leader, the marketplace turns on you and you don't have a strategy or your strategy isn't working? How do you lead? Or what do you do when, well, you know, there's so many different things. Moses was one of the most phenomenal leaders that's mentioned in all of the Bible. And all of the kinds of problems that you will face, non-performing employees, a strategy that changes, people that don't respect you, people that go a different way, Moses encountered each and every one of those situations. And so what we're going to do this morning is look at the life of Moses and his leadership and use it as a foil for how we can use leadership principles from... Well, that doesn't make any sense. How we can get some leadership principles from him for business. So here's the message title. Here's what we'll do. We'll look at how does God craft a leader and why, and we'll use Moses. And then we'll look at some implications for business. And then we'll try to apply this to some real-world situations. So, first, how does God craft a leader and why? If you're in your Bible, look at Acts chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 17. Acts chapter 7, verse 17. How does God craft a leader and why? Well, how did God craft Moses and why? Scene 1, verse 17. The story here is taken from Acts. It's nice because it kind of is a good summary. This is taking place when Stephen has been charged with blasphemy against Moses and going against the customs that Moses had recommended. And so he's giving his defense in front of the Sanhedrin. So he goes through Abraham, and then he goes through Joseph, and now we get to verse 17 of Moses, scene 1. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of people in Egypt increased greatly. Lots of people to lead. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. Wow, I mean, you know, just a little sentence there, but just unbelievable. Wickedness, evil. Verse 20, at that time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. Apparently he was a pretty baby. He was a kissable baby. Now that's a baby. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, you know, in the reeds, and remember that story, or at least you've seen it in the movie. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. The question is, what does the Bible say that can strengthen and empower our leadership? And so here you have Moses, and you can see, well, first of all, you need to be adopted by the right parents. And secondly, you need to get yourself a really good education. And if you do those things, look what happens. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in speech and action. So, I guess we'll just cut it short. Well, that's scene one. And so what we see is we see a very capable leader in the process of development. But, as we're going to learn, there's more to the story. Scene 2 begins at verse 23. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So, basically, he went to the defense of the Egyptian and he killed him. And then he buried him in the sand. Well, the next day he comes out and he sees one of his own people fighting with another one of his own. And so he says to them, you know, why are you doing this? And the aggressor says, well, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me like you killed that other guy yesterday? And then in verse 29, when Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. So, very interesting. You have a very capable leader, educated, right family, plenty of power, powerful in speech and all this. And we see that he fails. Because determination is not a strategy. He was just a very determined man. Moses thought that he had a vision from God to be the deliverer of his people. But then he thought he was very adequately prepared for the vision. But when he went out to actually deliver his people from their bondage, they rejected him. He was reported to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, it says in Exodus, and he had to flee into the wilderness. He had a little time out. And so instead of victory, we see failure. And look at the next verse. It says, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in verse 30. So scene two is that he thinks he's going to be the deliverer of his people. Scene three is failure in isolation. 40 years. Moses thought that his leadership would be adequate to deliver the people. But instead, God found it inadequate. And basically, there was too much Moses in Moses. And so we find throughout the text, when God is dealing with leaders, he's always more interested in the success of our character than he is in the success of our circumstances. And so he will never sacrifice our character to improve our circumstances. It's the other way around. He will always sacrifice our circumstances in order to give us character. And so Moses has to flee, because there's too much Moses in Moses. And so Moses has to flee to this wilderness for 40 years. So why did God give Moses a desire to lead and then only let him fail? Or you, why did God give you the desire to lead only to let you fail? Big question. And so he's out in this wilderness for 40 years. You know, often what we view as abandonment is really just equipping. And there were some things, as I said, that God wanted to build into Moses' life and some things that God wanted to take out of Moses' life. And so it was a smelting pot. It was, you know, when you make steel, hard steel, which is very durable, you don't start with steel. You start with what? Iron ore, pig iron. And there are lots of impurities in iron ore. And so in order to get these impurities out, the pig iron has to be melted to a very hot temperature. And because the iron ore that's in there, that's the really good stuff, doesn't melt off. It doesn't bubble to the top. It isn't dross. Remove the dross from the silver and out comes material for the silversmith. No, it comes to the top and it's called slag and then it's removed and then the steel remains. And so, you know, Moses was he was strong and powerful in his speech and action. He was a tough guy. He was hard. He was educated. But, you know, in the same way that this piece of wood is plenty hard enough to do a lot of damage, if you put it to a fire, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to disappear. By contrast, this hammer is made out of steel. And I know this is good, lasting, durable steel because I've had this hammer for... I bought this before I was born. I've had this hammer for 60 years. And this hammer can even destroy this piece of wood. And so what God is trying to do is he's trying to forge us into the kinds of leaders that can respond to big callings. God has big plans for us as leaders in business. He wants to do great things, but he's more interested in our character than our success. Here are a few ideas that we've talked about. Determination is not a strategy. There was too much Moses in Moses, and often what we view as abandonment is really just equipping. And so, why did God do this? Well, look at verse 30. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. I guess any old bush would do, right? When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. I wonder if he would have heard that voice 20 years earlier. No matter, this is when it happened. Verse 32, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. Now, in the Exodus passage, Moses says, oh Lord, I can't do this. Please don't send me. Send somebody else. I mean, he's been out here in the wilderness 40 years. His confidence is flagging. He's a very dispirited man. Wouldn't you be? You had a vision that you were going to do something great with your life. You went out, you tried to make it happen, and you got smelted. And now you've been out in the wilderness for who knows how long, God knows how long, and you're dispirited. And you don't know You just don't know why God would bother with you after all these years. But it says, come, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. Verse 35, this is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. Isn't it interesting? What we often view as abandonment is really just equipping. God sent Moses to the wilderness for 40 years to prepare him to lead his people in the wilderness for 40 years, to get him adjusted to the environment so that he could lead his people. He was equipped. So what you're going through as a leader, it's very probable that God is merely equipping you to lead in a greater way at a future time. The big idea this morning is this. Hot fire makes good steel. Hot fire makes good steel. If you're in the smelting pot, God is not trying to break you. He's trying to make you. Hot fire makes good steel. All right, let's look at some of the implications for business. Three. First of all, it's easy to look at the data and come to the wrong conclusions. I remember putting together a real estate development project. And what I was looking at was what my company needed at the time. And we needed cash flow. All the numbers worked on paper, but what I wasn't really doing is I wasn't really listening to God. I wanted to put that deal together, and I was going to substitute determination for any kind of leading or inkling of leadership from the Holy Spirit, because I just knew that this is the only way to solve the problem. And so I forced that deal to happen. I actually got turned down by the lender for the construction financing, and I flew to the city where the lender was. And my greatest strength is that I can be pretty persuasive. My greatest weakness is that I can be pretty persuasive. And so I made the best in my flesh. I made the best case that's ever been made for making a construction loan on a development deal. And I got that deal done. And but it's easy to look at the data and come to the wrong conclusion. And in your leadership, it's whatever the situation is that you're in, if you find yourself trying to force your leadership to work, you may want to reconsider that you may be coming to the wrong conclusion. We've talked here before about letting it happen versus making it happen. Letting it happen versus making it happen. You can force the deal if you want to. But one of the implications is that if you have been properly educated, if you did have the right parents, if you are completely capable and adequate, if you are powerful in speech and action, and you are persuasive, it is easy to look at the data and come to the wrong conclusion. And so one of the implications for business is that we need to know this about ourselves. Another one is, and I'd especially like to address the younger leaders in the audience, a very first step in becoming a leader is to have somebody tell you you're a leader. I was well into my 40s. I've always been leading. In college, in high school, in the army, in business, in ministry, in my family, in my community. I've always been involved in leadership things. But then when somebody would say to me, "Gosh, Pat, we really appreciate your leadership on this," I always felt extremely uncomfortable with that. I felt very uncomfortable with people referring to me as a leader because nobody had ever told me, "You're a leader." Nobody had ever blessed me and said, "You're a leader." And so I was well into my mid-40s before I said, "You know, I think I might really be a leader." It kind of took me about 25 years of adult life to discover that, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe I really am a leader. And so one day I said, you know, I'm just going to stop deflecting this. I'm just going to receive it and accept that I'm a leader. And that turned my life upside down. It's been so liberating, so freeing to know that I'm a leader. Moses was told he was a leader. He was brought up to be a leader. So, if you've never had anybody tell you that you're a leader, and especially if you're a younger person in business, I want to bless you right now. You're a leader. You can do it. You can do this. You can be a leader. You can make a difference. And then a third implication for business is just to remember that God is more interested in character success than circumstance success. You know, when we're in these deals, I met a guy over at the gym. I didn't meet him. I already know him. I ran into him over at the gym one day this week, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "I'm chasing after deals. I'm chasing after my family, and I'm chasing after God." And it was interesting, the reaction that I had. If he'd have reversed it and said, "I'm chasing after God, I'm chasing after family, I'm chasing after deals," I wouldn't have had that immediate, you know, thing. But he's got it right. You know, he's chasing after the right things. He's chasing after the right things. I know him, and I know that his work is coming out of the overflow of his relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that his leadership in his family is coming out of the overflow of his relationship with Christ. Robert Clinton, Bobby Clinton, wrote a book called The Making of a Leader. And in this book, he notes what he calls the plateaued leader. And he also notes that this is the most common category that leaders end up finding themselves in. He says this, he said, leaders who plateau early reveal a common pattern. They learn new skills until they can operate comfortably with them, but then they fail to seek new skills deliberately and habitually. They coast on prior experience. I think when we're in the smelting pot, there is this tendency to say, you know, I just want to build myself a comfortable world. I want to get my circumstances into a successful place, and then I just kind of want to coast. And so I think one of the implications here for business is to understand that in order to be all that God wants us to be, we have to allow ourselves to go into the smelting pot. And if we really want to be powerful and more effective in our leadership, we have to remember this, that hot fire makes good steel. Hot fire makes good steel. That's the big idea. And then finally, let's just apply this to some real-world situations. 3. Let's just say that you are a capable leader. You're a capable leader. You get things done. And now you come, you know, you looked at the data, you came to the wrong conclusion. Now what do you do? Well, Moses, it's interesting because when Moses thought that he was adequate for the vision of leading, God found him inadequate. But then when Moses found himself inadequate for the vision of leading, that's when God found him adequate. And so the point is that God can use an inadequate person who will acknowledge that they're inadequate. And so maybe you are a capable leader. Maybe you have looked at the data and come to the wrong conclusion. Maybe you have put the deal together that shouldn't have been put together. And so now the message is to remember that hot fire makes good steel. You're going to get burned, and humble yourself before the holy God. On the deal that I talked about that I put together, I shouldn't put together, I remember I went down to Vero Beach to speak at a CBMC prayer breakfast, and then on the way back, I had to drive by the property that I had put together that I shouldn't put together. All the empty buildings that nobody was leasing. It was horrible. It was a disaster. There were like three carpenters building out 1,000 square feet out of whatever it was, 80 or 90,000 square feet. And that was it. That was it. And the world had begun, you know, the earth had collided with the moon and the whole thing was falling apart. It was horrible. And I was on fire. And I remember being so distraught, driving out behind the buildings, finding a place where nobody had a sight line on me. And there was a patch of grass there. And I remember getting out of my car, and I'm just going to do it. And I went over to that patch of grass, and I just laid down on that grass prostrate. And I spread out on that grass, and I just begged God to give me character success, to do whatever he needed to do in my circumstances to perfect my character. I said, Lord, this is so painful. I've never had anything like this before in my life. But I do know this. I want to be a leader, and I want to give you permission to do whatever you need to do to craft me into the kind of leader that you want me to be. And if this is what it takes to take a capable leader and to make him usable, then you go ahead and do it. And he did. Took it away, I mean. A second application for the real world is to the dispirited leader. You may be capable, or maybe you don't think you're very capable. Maybe not, you really think you're pretty inadequate. But the point is that you're dispirited. You've been in the wilderness for a long time. I urge you, don't pray for God to reduce the duration of your hard times. Instead, ask Him that you would be graced to learn everything that He has for you during this hard time, so that you don't have to go this way again. Learn. What does the Bible say that can strengthen and empower my leadership? Let the hot fire make the good steel. That's what the Bible says. Let the hot fire make the good steel. And then if you're a younger leader, what is the application for you? You're at the beginning of this deal. How can you make your life count the way that you really dream about making your life count? First thing is, remember, you're a leader. And the second thing is to declare yourself. Declare yourself before a watching world. Dwight Moody, when he was a young man, went to England, and he heard someone say that the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Lord. And Moody said, well, I'm a man. And he didn't say a great man, or a learned man, or a rich man, or a smart man, or an eloquent man, or a wise man. He just said a man. And I am a man. And it lies within the man himself whether or not he will make that full and whole consecration. I will do my utmost to be that man. He declared himself. Jeremiah declared himself. Jeremiah, hot fire makes good steel. Jeremiah was in stocks. He was in prison for standing up as a leader for Christ. And when he's let out, he said, Lord, I don't understand. All this work I do for you. He was dispirited. He said, all this work I do for you. All day long I do exactly what you want. And what do I get? I get insult. I get reproach. I'm reviled by people. They hate my guts. Like Moses. And then in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he apparently turns his attention to his own journal and he writes, but if I say I will not mention him anymore or speak in his name, his word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Declare yourself. Young leaders, declare yourself that you will be a leader for God in business. Hot fire will make good steel. And you can be that good steel. Declare yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the example of Moses, of how we can become more powerful and effective in our leadership, even if we started that way. And Lord, for those who are very capable among us, Lord, I pray that they would be careful not to look at the data and come to the wrong conclusions. And that if they have, that they would humble themselves and repent and not ask for a shortened duration, but for character success. And then, Lord, for those who are dispirited, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them in the wilderness, that you give them hope that there is an end to this and that you're going to use them in a greater way because of the wilderness, had it not happened at all. And then finally, to the young leader, Lord, I pray that you would help every young leader in this room know that they are a leader and that they would declare themselves to be out and out for you. And Lord, I pray that you would take all of this leadership into the marketplace and that you would make this community more vibrant, more effective, a better place to live, and also that, in addition, your kingdom would expand because of the leadership of these people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.